Welcome to the home of Blood, Sweat, and Words, a podcast that empowers writers. My name is Joanne Carson. I'm a fiction and nonfiction author, blogger, and podcaster, and I'm trying to make sense of the writing world today. My weekly show is current, relevant, and above all, honest. Join me, and we'll talk it to the bone. That's what Blood, Sweat, and Words is all about. First, my personal news. My Gothic Suspense Murder for Christmas will be up for pre-order on November 1st and will launch November 13th. 12 strangers are invited to an island estate 1 week before Christmas, only to discover turkey is not the only thing on the menu, as one by one they meet their maker. Welcome to Episode 9 on Blood, Sweat, and Words. Today I'm interviewing Eileen Cook, a writer and writing coach. Eileen Cook's 12 novels appear in 8 different languages, and several have been optioned for film and TV. Most of her work is in the YA category. She writes psychological thrillers. Eileen is a popular speaker at conferences both in the U.S. and in Canada. She provides writing and editorial coaching through CCS Creative Academy in Vancouver, Canada, and is a mentor and instructor for the Simon Fraser University's The Writer Studio. Hi, Eileen. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So, well, let's get on with the questions. You've created a business with a couple other writers to help other authors. You have oodles of experience to do that, but still, it's a huge undertaking. What do you like best about coaching other authors?
Well, certainly part of it is writing is such a solitary activity. And I know for myself, there would be so many times where I would find myself discouraged, or I'd have a question, or even better, I'd have great news and want to share it. And I kind of wish that I had a community. And I belong to several writers groups, but we would only meet, you know, sort of irregularly, and conferences only came around once a year. So I wanted to build a community online where, you know, it could be the middle of the night and you could email someone and somebody would be there. So that was what I wanted to do. I love working with other writers, partly because I love reading and books and stories. So the opportunity to talk to someone about their book and sort of troubleshoot it, like, oddly enough, that's really fun for me. Like, I enjoy that process. And I think it's so much easier to see issues or challenges in someone else's story than it is to see in your own. But the process of sort of helping someone else with their story opens up so many things for myself. So, you know, when I'm reading someone else's pages and I say, here's, you know, an area or a problem, I find myself questioning, like, I think I do that myself. So I think it's a great opportunity to learn about my own writing. And I'm one of those people who's a firm believer that you pay it forward. And I've had so many writers be generous and wonderful to me and give me great insight and feedback that I feel very fortunate that people would like my feedback. So I'm happy to do that.
Well, it fascinates me that you find helping others and looking at their story enhances your own story writing. And I think that comes down to stories. Stories build stories. I find that fascinating.
I was going to say, yeah, it's to me, it is always that thing of when you're listening to someone else's story and you have to give them feedback. And so you can't just say, like, oh, I really like that, or I don't know, I just found myself kind of bored. You know, the other writer wants to know more, like, why are you bored? Why did you love it? And having to sort of dig deep to give meaningful feedback forces you to really dissect that writing and figure out what is working there.
Oh, that would be such a good practice, because I know that, you know, in my own stories, I try to do that. And there's all kinds of roadblocks that you put up because you don't seem to want the answer. So practicing that, I think that would be really helpful.
There's a wonderful book, which, of course, I'll never remember the author's name, but it's called Reading Like a Writer. And it's a great resource, I think, around that idea of as you start to read, whether that's other writers' pages or just, you know, books from the library or the bookstore, like starting to understand that there's a craft behind that and sort of looking at, you know, if you loved Gone Girl by Gillian Flynn, like why? How did she do that? How did she make those twists work? What made you go, oh, and how did that happen? So I think that's a great resource for people.
Yeah, a great way to learn to be critical.
Yes.
So getting onto today's topic, tell me what storytellers need to know about conflict.
Well, I can summarize this in a very short answer, and then I'll get a little bit longer. But the first is, I'm guessing you don't have enough. That is the number one feedback that I hear when I talk to editors and agents and other creative writing instructors, is we tend to be a little too easy on our characters.
Oh, and don't that we? Yeah.
and that might be because we love them and we don't want to hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
It might be that we're afraid we're going to write ourselves into a corner. But the truth is, readers read for conflict. That's what's keeping them turning the pages. And if you look at something like Gone with the Wind, you know, you're not too far into that book and Scarlett O'Hara's had the man she loved decide to marry someone else. A war has broken out. She marries someone that she doesn't love. He dies in the war. She gets pregnant. She has, like, and I'm not even a third of the way through a book. And, you know, but when you're reading that, you never think like, gosh, Scarlett O'Hara is the unluckiest woman in the world. You're just thinking like, oh, now what is she going to do? Oh, how is she going to get through that? And that's what people are reading for. So my number one advice to people is you probably need more conflict in your book. And it is much easier to dial it back in revision than it is to ramp it up.
True. Very true. So what do you see as the biggest hurdle for beginning writers today?
Certainly what I see the most often when I'm talking to new writers is that tendency to sort of second guess themselves. And I think where this comes up is you're sitting around or driving or taking a shower and you have this amazing idea for a book. Mm-hmm. And it's the best idea that has ever happened to you.
It's
the best idea that has ever existed in the history of the written word. And you're so excited and then you start to write it. And then it's not so good.
I've been there. Yeah.
Something happened to that shiny idea from your brain to the page. And I think for so many beginning writers, they tend to stop. And at least I know that's what I did, is I would become discouraged. I would be like, oh, like, I guess it wasn't that good of an idea. And so I'd, you know, crumple up the page and go on to something else. And the truth is, no first draft is ever going to be as good as what's in your head, because it's imaginary. What's in your head has no context. It's only when you start to put it on the page and you put parameters around it that it becomes real. And real, you know, like the Velveteen Rabbit, isn't necessarily pretty. It's worn and
yeah, that's a nice image. Yeah.
So you have to work at it. And for me, the biggest thing to learn as a new writer is that most things can be fixed in revision, and that is a process you have to go to. And because there is that tendency to second guess and question, make sure you're surrounding yourself by positive people who are going to encourage you. One of the things that I think discourages me is there seem to be many more people who are happy to tear down your dream than to spend time building their own.
Yes.
And I think once you acknowledge that's one of the hard things to acknowledge as you start to adult in life, is that those are out there, is that don't let those people in. Surround yourself with people who are going to encourage you, which doesn't mean they're always telling you what you want to hear. They, you know, they have to be able to give you that feedback to get better, but that they are encouraging and helping you see that your goal is attainable, because you're going to need that.
And what about intermediate writers, the ones who've published one or two and are continuing to publish? What advice do you have for them?
I think in a lot of ways, it's the same, which is that sort of interesting thing is I have written, over a dozen novels, and I still find it interesting that when I'm in the first draft stage, I always hit a point. For me, it's about the three quarters point where I suddenly realize this is a horrible idea. I didn't know why I thought anyone would want to read it. It's poorly written. It's not good. And I've, you know, the publisher's going to be so disappointed. My readers are going to be so disappointed.
Yeah.
And I just, the only difference for me now versus when I was a beginning writer is at least I know that this happens.
Yeah, it's normal.
Yeah, this is a familiar point of depression.
Yeah.
Like, oh, right, that here it is, my old friend. Yes. So there is some comfort in knowing I've been down that road. But the same advice happens, which is make sure you have yourself surrounded by good people. And understanding for anyone who is published, there is a shift that happens between writing is a craft, but publishing is a business.
Mm.
And I've also heard it described that writing is a craft and publishing is a casino. I'm not sure it's more accurate, but they are definitely two very different beasts. And writing is about art, and it is about telling a story and feeling compelled to write a story. But when you begin to publish, there are other things that start to come into play, and it can be very easy to get your feelings hurt. So you get a review that is not just negative about the book, but I think probably all writers who've been out there have gotten a review that's just kind of mean and scathing and hurtful. And it's very easy to take that personally. And, you know, the ability to back up and remind yourself, you know, I'm in the casino, so there's going to be some winners and there's going to be some losers. And all I can do is play smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
That really is the advice I tell people is, you know, play smart. Remember that you're in a public place and conduct yourself as you would if you were in a public place, and be kind to others. So it is that same thing around bring other people around you who are positive and encouraging. And also now that you have, I don't know if I want to say status, but you have, you know, some cachet as someone who might have published, remember what it was like to be on that other side. And you are no better than someone who hasn't yet published. You're just in a different place. So make sure you're offering that hand out as well to sort of help someone else up.
That's what I love about romance writers. They tend to be very family-like, always reaching down and reaching up, and it's a big family. It's so supportive.
Well, and I think it's remembering, and I think sometimes we forget that there is room on the shelf for all of us.
Yes.
And this isn't a zero-sum game. If someone gets an agent, I understand that might be discouraging. If you've been querying and you've just gotten your 89th rejection and someone else in your writing group just sent out 5 and she got 2 offers.
Oh.
And, you know, like that yeah. has, it doesn't mean that she got 2 offers that now mean won't go to you. It's not a zero-sum game. And it's okay to be discouraged and disappointed, but remember, celebrate her success. Your time will come. And, you know, then you'll know someone who is a little further ahead. So if you can truly be kind and happy for that person, I think it just opens you up to a lot more opportunities.
Oh, definitely. And more opportunities to celebrate. I mean, if we only celebrate our own victories in life, it's not as many as if we celebrate all our friends as well. So tell me about your business. How does that work into your creative life?
Well, I think part of it is probably similar to anyone who is writing, who is juggling, whether that's their business or their family or their kids or the million of other things they have. It's sometimes it is a juggle and you have to sort of carve out time to make certain things happen. The nice thing about the Creative Academy is that it feeds what I'm doing. So we have regular writing sprints that are happening where people are getting online and they're writing. So we have them, for example, in the mornings from 7:30 to 8:30. And sometimes I might be hosting those. But the truth is, while I'm hosting those, I'm also doing my writing during that sprint time. Sure. So that's an opportunity for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm researching and putting up workshops on different topics like conflict or dialogue or any of those kinds of things, it means I have to articulate my thoughts. I actually have to have something to say. And that forces me to organize my own thoughts on that issue. And again, is often very helpful for my own writing. And again, you know, sort of I keep harping on this theme of community, but I really do strongly believe in it, is I'm around, you know, and I have this opportunity to be around other creative people. And they're asking questions and they're helping each other. And it's that process that I find exciting. And when one person is talking about their book and you see them have an epiphany where they're like, oh, wait, you know what it needs to be? There needs to be this kind of conflict or twist. You know, oftentimes that provides me an opportunity to be like, oh, could I do something like that in my book? So it's not about taking their idea as much as it is. You see something in their writing and you think, I could do a different spin on that. I could have a take on that. And it can open up so many opportunities.
Are you working on a book right now?
Of course. Is there always a book? I'm rather excited. I'm actually currently kind of splitting my time. So I have a new book that'll be coming out in March. So I'm gearing up for that. But the book I am writing is an adult book for a shift. Oh. So I've primarily written YA or books for young adults and teens, but I had an adult idea that involves some mayhem and heist. And for those of us old enough to remember The Fish Called Wanda, it's mm-hmm. a little bit, I hope, like that, where there's some heisty bits and some hopefully funny bits and some very strong.
Such a funny movie. Yeah.
I liked it.
And where can we find you and your books and your business?
Well, you can find the Creative Academy at ccscreativeacademy.com. And if people just want to test it out, I understand that, you know, people have so many things going on. We do have a free resource room. So that's a great place where we have a bunch of stuff that you can just download for free. And then you'll get our weekly email, which has all sorts of prompts and various things. So that's a great way to sort of test it out. My website's nice and easy, which is just eileencook.com. And I hang out entirely too often on Twitter and Instagram, so you can always find me there. Mm-hmm. And I'm Eileen Cook, writer. And you'll hear me talking about my new book, which is coming out in March, which is called You Owe Me a Murder.
Ooh, I love the title. All this information is in the show notes if you didn't get that all down. And so what are you reading right now?
So I am reading, I don't know if anyone else has heard of this book, it's called A Noise Downstairs by Linwood Barclay. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a ghost story. So there's a haunted typewriter, which I love because I actually collect vintage typewriters. So now I'm scaring myself because I'm watching them out of the corner of my eyes. So there is a haunted typewriter, there's a murder. And there's definitely, I'm not entirely sure what the twist is, but I feel there is a big one coming.
Oh, the suspense sounds fantastic. And sort of shifting a bit here, what is your favorite Cocker mocktail?
Well, I definitely split. So in the summers, I love gin and tonic. But now that we're coming into fall and winter, I love an old-fashioned. And I particularly like it if you have a touch of vanilla in there. So that's probably my favorite.
Your go-to drink. Do you have a final word for us?
I do. So I was very lucky to take a writing course with a Canadian writer, Ivan Coyote, who some people may have had the opportunity to see. And Ivan gave me the best publishing advice of my life. So I'm passing it on. I'm just making sure that Ivan gets credit for it. So I was called up after class and Ivan said, you know, are you sending your stuff out? You're really good. And I said at the time, like, oh, I don't know. I'm really scared. Like, what if I get rejected? I don't know how I'd feel about that. And Ivan said, here's a news flash, Eileen. You're already not published. So the worst thing that's going to happen to you is you still won't be published. But you know what? If you send it out, you might. And that was, for me, such a light bulb moment. And, apparently it doesn't make me sound very intelligent because, like, duh is the follow-up to that. But for me, it was that realization that this was my dream. This is what I've wanted to do since I was a little girl, was to write and to publish. And I was so frightened of rejection that I let it get in my way. And I didn't know if I would ever publish, and I certainly racked up plenty of rejection. But it wasn't until I gave myself a chance that I had any opportunity to make it happen. So that's my advice to everyone else.
perfect. And that brings today's episode to a close. It's been wonderful talking to you, Eileen, and that's eileencook.com. Thanks for joining us and sharing your wisdom.
Thank you so much.
Tune in next week on Blood, Sweat, and Words for my interview with Anne Janzer on marketing in a sustainable way. Now it's your turn. What do you think about today's topic? You can leave me comments on my website or email me directly. I'd love to hear from you. If you want to know more about me, check out my podcast website, bloodsweatandwords.com. You can also sign up for my weekly newsletter there, which contains writing tips and information about upcoming episodes. You also get a free book if you sign up. Now, if you really, really enjoyed the show, please consider becoming one of my patrons through Patreon and help me pay my podcasting bills. You can pledge as little as $1 a month and make a big difference. And that's a wrap. I leave you with a quote from J.K. Rowling. The idea of just wandering off to a cafe with a notebook and writing and seeing where that takes me for a while is just bliss. I think we can all relate to that one. See you between the lines.